Welcome to Local Decision 2023, and joining us in studio today here at North Metro TV is Dave Bartholomew, Circle Pines mayor. He's unopposed once again. Let's see, you've been in the mayor's seat since 2005. Is this a monarchy?
Well, I don't know. You know, I was trying to think the other day how many times I've been opposed, because it's every 2 years. Yeah. So this is like my ninth or tenth election, and obviously I've won them all, but sometimes I've been opposed, sometimes not. This time, nobody signed up, and people come up to me and will say, well, you know, that must mean you're doing a great job. And I always remind them, well, the other possibility is that nobody else really wants the job. But I just love it. You know, it's a $4,000 a year way for me to serve the community.
When you're running unopposed, do you have to self-motivate to come in here and, you know, tell us how it's going to be great the next few years in Circle Pines? Yeah. How does that work?
Well, that's a good question. You know, in this game of politics, there's a concern that if you run unopposed, you know, you may not, for example, need to door knock. You don't necessarily need to put up your yard signs in people's yards. You wouldn't necessarily have to come in here. And when you do those kind of things, you start to say, well, you know what, I don't really need to do it this time. And because maybe people are all generally lazy of some sort, but all of a sudden then, the places where you put signs, that goes a little dormant, and you haven't been out and about door knocking, so you don't hear what people are thinking. And so you have to be careful there. This unopposed thing, especially I think at the legislature, if that should ever happen very often, it can really throw you for a loop, because your whole kind of campaign machinery kind of goes a little dormant and a little soft and isn't ready to go if you get into a hard race. Now, Circle Pines is a small town. That'd be more likely to happen in places like a Blaine or in legislative races. But yeah, so it's still a thing where, you know, you want to get out and tell people what you're thinking and what your dreams and wishes are for the future. Clearly, they may or may not agree. The turnout will probably be small. And you know, but it's also an off year, so we do it in odd years, like 2023. Most cities, except for Lino Lakes and Circle Pines, are next year, 2024, okay. Even years. And we, again, sort of a long answer to the question, but we've thought about changing our year to getting in the same cycle as everybody else. So then you're running on the ballot, and there's also a governor's race or a legislative or a presidential. More people turn out. Are they paying attention to local races? Maybe not. But on the other hand, when you have an off year, there's very few people that turn out. That means that a small group could sort of swing things. Right. And depending on which group you're in, you can like that or you can hate that, right?
So to avoid complacency, do you try to find new hot-button issues, or do you stick to core topics like police, fire, Centennial School District? Or do you land in the middle?
Well, that's a good question, because, of course, some of the things that, you know, you talk about hot-button issues and then core issues. Sometimes those core issues like police or fire can become the hot-button issue. I think that part of the reason we're fairly successful in Circle Pines is that we pretty much stay close to sort of core issues. We try to avoid the social things. When I first got elected mayor in 2005, I called a friend who was on the city council in Shoreview, and she said, hey, you know, this is great, congratulations, what are you thinking of doing now that you're mayor? And I said, well, you know, I was thinking that we should probably, you know, ban smoking in the restaurants and bars and stuff in town. You know, that was kind of a hot thing 15, 20 years ago. Now it's a statewide rule, but, and she told me, you know, she said, listen, I've been involved in this a long time, and you may want to rethink that, because, you know, people didn't vote for you based on things like, you know, smoking in bars and restaurants or abortion or this or that. That's not, you know, those things are coming. That's at the state and federal level. At the local level, it's really schools. It's really streets, it's police and fire. So we've tended to stay there quite a bit. We rarely go out into that politically messy stuff. Not that we couldn't. We could pass resolutions supporting this or supporting that, but it just doesn't feel like it's really in our job description. That's not what people look for the city. They really want the services, the parks and the police and the fire and everything, just to run great and be innovative that way, not necessarily take on social challenges. That's, now, that's different than it would be, for example, in a Minneapolis or a St. Louis Park, where they take these things on all the time. Or even in Oak County here, you know, with, you know, some of the communities in the northern part of the county that are quite conservative, you know, passing things and doing stuff like that. So we just tend to be mostly try to stay in the middle and do our job.
You were a mediator for the state of Minnesota. How does that help you in the job of being the mayor of Circle Pines?
Yeah, that was really interesting. You know, I'm retired now, and one of the things that was fascinating when I started becoming a mediator about a dozen years ago was it just felt like things kind of came together. And I'm not sure everybody gets that feeling in their life, but it was interesting for me because the involvement in the city and involvement in sort of government and public sector type stuff, politics type stuff, I'd seen a lot of the tension and a lot of the polarization, and all of a sudden now I'm trying to fix it, and I'm trying to help with that, and I'm trying to think about how to mediate difficult situations. And so it seemed to be, and it has continued to be, a really great sort of marriage of conflict resolution and being an elected official. I have given quite a few speeches on it. I travel around the state. People want me to come and talk to them, try to help them work out their difficulties in city councils, and it's really been really enlightening. I've absolutely enjoyed that kind of connection between conflict and politics, and how you can make it a little better. Because these are all good people for the most part. Very few of them are trying to cause trouble, but yet they find themselves in these councils, city councils, and cities across the state where they're just at odds with somebody on the council. They fight back and forth. It's the way that the town is known, is always having these struggles and fights, and it just seems to be a shame. You know, it should just be about supporting kids and parks and having police and fire and streets without potholes. It should be pretty simple, but these folks are getting it all wound up. They see that in St. Paul, they see it in Washington, D.C., and it comes down to cities, and I hate that. So I'm trying to always stop that if I can help it.
Yeah, and somebody once said there's three sides to every story, right? Yours, theirs, and the truth.
Exactly right.
Do you have that ability to walk in the middle? Because we are in polarizing times.
Yeah, I think I do. You know, I was raised in North Dakota, pretty conservative place, pretty conservative family. Became more liberal when I go to college and all those kind of things. And then worked for a couple congressmen, worked for Governor Rudy Perpich. So saw a lot of that. And I'll never forget the first city council meeting I was on in 2001 when I got elected to the city council. I got in and I'm sitting at, you know, the dais in front where the city council is going. And I've always been one of the people out in the cheap seats, you know, out in the audience. And now I'm up there. And it was like an epiphany went off where all of a sudden I realized, hey, you know, I support, for example, the school levies just to raise money for the schools. But all of a sudden I realized, you know, Now I'm spending other people's money. Mm-hmm. When I spend my money, I can spend it on what I want, and I'll support schools till the day I die. But other people may not want to have a fancy new building here, or they may not want to pay for all the streets or whatever. So I have to think of what other people want. And so it really was an awakening of, like, instead of just thinking it should be done this way, you start thinking, boy, I have to be responsible for all of their wallets. And it kind of tempers you quite a bit, moderates you quite a bit.
Schools, I know it's a passion. You want to have that Centennial District shine, right? Be a bright light.
Yep. In fact, I gave a presentation, which I probably should dig out a little bit here at some point, last spring, about the role of cities and schools. And in Minnesota and most places, there's not a lot of a connection between the cities and the schools. And I really believe that schools need the support of city councils and of the community, of course, too. One of the main reasons I ran was I was on the city council, 2001, it's a four-year term, and the person who was the mayor at the time was against the levy that was going to be voted on to support the schools. And, you know, I'm in favor of it, and I'm helping organize for that. And he hand-painted a sign that said, you know, vote no on the schools. And it really made me wonder. Certainly he has his opinion and he can vote however he likes. That's America. But I was really struck by the fact that one community leader would be doing that against another community institution. And it just felt to me like either you support what the schools or the county or whatever is doing, or you sort of just be quiet. I didn't really think that it's appropriate for an elected official to go out and bash somebody on a different kind of board. That's just the way I'm raised and stuff. So that really drove me to run for mayor, because I felt we needed to support schools. You know, people move into Circle Pines because of the schools. I hear it all day long. We have Golden Lake Elementary and everything else. You know, I'm in the Hall of Fame at the school district, which is just amazing, since, you know, I never attended a class at Centennial. I'm not in the Fargo Hall of Fame where I went to school, but that's a whole other story. We're not probably going to get into
here. You have a plaque?
Yeah.
You have a plaque?
At the school at Centennial, yeah. Yeah, you walk in the door and there's all the Hall of Fame people. And it's really just because I just believe you support schools. I get over to that elementary school whenever I can. These kids know who I am. That's really important. I try to tell them a lot, especially little kids, second, third, fourth grade type ages, that you know, I'm expecting big things out of them. I think a lot of times people rise to the level of expectations folks have for them. And I want these kids, I don't know if they're coming from a great household or a tough household or what, any of those things, but I just tell them, you know, we expect big things out of you. You know, you can do great stuff. I want these kids to do well. It's the future, and so it's just been a lot of fun supporting the teachers here. A couple weeks ago at the beginning of the 2023 school year, I got the chance to go over and give a 10-minute kind of rah-rah-rah speech to all the staff, 700 of them, and it was, you know, it was one of the bigger thrills of my life to be able to try to encourage these folks. They did great with my kid. My son's turned out tremendous, and it's because of the work they did, and so... So yeah, I love our teachers and the staff and the schools, and I think we should support them.
You seem to have the ability to connect with people. I mean, you're the first guy I met on this job. It was almost a year ago. Oh, okay. But that gift of being able to talk, listen, do you consider yourself a mayor of the people in Circle Pines?
Yeah, I think I do. You know, the listening is an interesting point. This is something I learned a lot in the last 5-10 years of being a mediator, was sort of, instead of being right in the middle of the discussion, sort of pulling back a little bit, trying to help these two get together to talk. You know, in a mediation, if it was you and another person, you know, you'd have these differences, and I would start out and asking questions and things, but over time, I sort of fade away, and the two of you have a conversation, right? And so I've started to learn to listen better. I'm obviously a talker, and I needed to learn that, needed to learn to listen better. I mean, you know, I'm out and about a lot. I mean, whether it's at church or at the bar or at the hockey game, you know, I'm pretty much do a lot of those things. I think that's important. People come up and talk to me all the time. And I understand we don't all think the same way, and we don't have to. You know, there's an old saying that it's that we don't have to disagree less. We need to disagree better. You know, we can have, this is America, this is what we do. We have the ability to have all these different ideas and thoughts and discuss it and work it out. And so I love being in that middle role. I find myself often on the council as sort of that middle or moderate spot. You know, there's some issues I'm more conservative. I'd be more fiscally conservative, and I'd be more socially more liberal if you were going to kind of put labels on things. But yeah, I love being out and about and love having people talk to me, especially, you know, kids and young adults that are trying to figure out what's going on with this world. There's a lot of hope. I try to be optimistic, try to present them with a little bit of hope, because we can do this. We can work these things out.
So what do you like about Circle Pines? I mean, you're coming back again. Yeah. You must have a deep passion and love for Circle Pines.
Yeah. Well, it's a neat town, you know. It's interesting because it's already fully developed. A lot of people want to be in elected office or as the key staff people in a growing town, because you get to decide, well, let's put a shopping mall here, we'll put houses here, and all that. We're all built out. We know what we have to work with. We have a good mix of people. We have people that have pretty good money and people don't have that much money. We're watching the community change, kind of become more diverse, you know, ethnically, and so we're seeing a lot of change happening. It's got good schools, got good kids, nice neighborhoods. You know, not the biggest place in the world, but and having this shared police department and a shared fire department, a fascinating kind of mix. It makes it a challenge, because not only do you know what you want to have your police department do, but now you have two other cities that have ideas, mm-hmm. and you have to continually be in, you know, kind of connection with these folks to figure out what you share and what you don't. So yeah, it's a fascinating kind of spot. It's a lot of people become elected at a local level because they want to move up. They want to become a council member, then a mayor, then they want to be a legislator, then they, you know. And pretty early on, I determined that, you know what, I don't want to move on. This is the place for me. This is where I can offer my skills. I think everybody serves their community somehow. They might be a, you know, PTA person. They might be a coach in a little league team, be a confirmation guide at church. This is kind of how I serve. And so I'm a big fan of servant leadership, and I've always got work to do to get better at it. So it's a never-ending growth pattern for me.
So you will be back. What are your goals in this next run as mayor?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because this will be like my, I think, 9th or 10th term.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it all becomes a bit of a blur sort of at some point, right? But there's a couple big things. First off, police and fire are under a lot of stress now. You know, police officers with the whole PTSD thing and everything else, a lot of pressure. They're costing a lot of money. That part of the budget's always, you know, a big thing, and a big, you know, a city's police and fire service are usually at least half of a city's budget, any place in the state of Minnesota. So managing that, keeping those folks happy, keeping the three cities together, that in the police and two in the fire, that's always a challenge. I have a really goal that we haven't talked about much, but we've been doing background work on, and that is that as our streets have are now all done, and water and sewer lines, and as those bond payments go down like that, and they are, we've already passed the peak and now it's going down, I think there might be, and this is up to the community and up to the council, but I think there might be an opportunity in there for making a bit of a reinvestment in our parks and trails. They're okay. Golden Lake Park is actually very nice, kind of the crown jewel of the system, but some of the other parks need work and need some help. The buildings are old and in tough shape in a couple of parks, at Baldwin a little bit, Inner for sure, Carlec Park for sure. I'd like to see us put a little bit of investment into kind of upgrading, refreshing our parks and trails system. It's a big thing. We believe we have more parks and trails space than any other community in the metro area for our population. So it's partly the way the city was laid out, you know, by the folks in the 50s when it was set up as a cooperative. There's a lot of trails and parks and people are close to them. So I'd like to refresh those a little bit, get them ready for the next 30, 40 years. And that'll take a bit of money. More importantly, it'll take a little bit of planning. And so we've been doing that sort of behind the scenes for the last 6 months with the park board. And we're going to start thinking about bringing that out in the winter and the spring and talking about in the community. So it's probably time to refresh those things. And at that point, you're thinking, well, you've got good police and fire. You've taken care of your infrastructure, your water lines, your sewer lines, your streets, the things that are kind of job one. You got your parks and trails kind of refreshed. They're not fancy, but they're good and they're solid and clean and ready to go. That seems like a pretty good goal to have it. Now, that sounds like this would be the last 2-year term. Well, every year I think this will probably be the last 2-year term. So a while back I quit promising that, you know, this is my last term. But, you know, we have great people in the council, great people in the community. This thing is going well, and somebody else could do the job as easy or as better than I could. So it's been a lot of fun.
Final thought, are you a better mayor today than you were in 2005?
Yeah, these are good. This is a trick question. I think the answer is yes. You know, I look back, of course, that's 18 years ago. I was younger. Maybe had more energy then, but I also was, you know, you could become impatient. I don't know about erratic, but impatient. And we've had a couple of struggles on councils with different council members and times. You know, 2008 to 10, the recession was a real hard time, real stressful and stuff. I'm proud of how we've done, but yeah, I think I'm better now, especially since I think I'm better at trying to get other people involved and sort of share the spotlight a bit, maybe. In the beginning, I think maybe I wasn't quite as good at that. I have also the whole relationship with the other cities, but with the schools in particular, that has really developed, and I'm proud of that. So I don't know. I had fun back then. I'm having fun now. And it's the best $4,000 or $5,000 job a year a person could have. So I love it.
Thanks for stopping by.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
Mayor Dave Bartholomew from Circle Pines, again, running unopposed. Thanks for tuning us in. This is Local Decision 2023 here on North Metro TV.